Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Combat the scourge of drug abuse, addiction, and overdose. That's the task that President Donald Trump has given to the Presidential Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are among the commission's appointees, as is Bertha Madras. She's a professor of psychobiology at Harvard Medical School and former deputy director of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy under President George W. Bush. Professor Madras, welcome to the show. And let me just first start by asking you, what is your first priority for the new commission?
How to save lives. That's number one. There's no question about it, because a person who has perished, we can't help. We have to help people before they die. Number two is we have to get them into treatment. We have to increase treatment. But number three, and most importantly, we have to have a revolution in the quality of treatment in our country. It is, at this point, a giant disconnect between mental health, physical health, and traditional treatment centers. We have to bring that triad together in order to help people.
So when you were working for the Bush administration, what strategies did you learn do not work to combat drug epidemics like the one we have now?
Well, at that time, we had very little data, and we were just beginning to understand wherein lies the problem. The first data we had was from people who were monitoring the internet and noticed a vast increase in pharmaceuticals offshore that were selling OxyContin and other drugs like that. And so there was a whoosh into, let's curtail that. Then SAMHSA was commissioned, our Substance Abuse and Health Services Administration, to add into their national surveys, where do people get the drugs? And they found that most are coming free from friends and family, from people who have been prescribed opioids, and then there's a vast amount of leftover. And so we went state by state to try to convince states to incorporate prescription drug monitoring programs. The problem is the federal government cannot impose on physicians checking of that, you know, in order to understand if their patients are doctor shopping. In one case, we found a person who died of an overdose in West Virginia who had 100 opioid prescriptions in his home from various states around West Virginia. And so we began to realize that physicians need to exercise a greater level of caution. Part of that is understanding who their patients are and their substance use history.
You know, again, this is sort of a big picture question. But if you look at the history of America's, you know, generation-long battle against various kinds of drugs, whether it's cocaine, crack, methamphetamine, now opioids, it's kind of a long history of failure.
I don't think it's been failure.
You think we've been successful?
No, I think that part of our problem is resolve. I don't think it's been... If you look at the opioid problem that the world had at the turn of the 20th century, and you look at international treaties, international resolve, international commitments, there was a 90% drop of opioid use in Asia thanks to that. And that entire program was based on supply reduction. I am not advocating only supply reduction, because I think that that is folly. One has to treat, one has to have a human element, one has to have prevention, one has to lower demand. There are many components to this complex issue. What we've seen now with our opioid overdose crisis is what triggered it was supply, a massive increase in prescription opioids.
So, I mean, on that point then, do you see as part of the new commission's mandate the possibility of, you know, you talked about the medical community, but what about holding the pharmaceutical community to account?
Well, the pharmaceutical community had a major role to play. Pain patients had a major role to play. The Veterans Administration had a role to play. and grassroots movements had a role to play. The history is that in 1980, a letter to the editor published by our revered New England Journal of Medicine showed that over 11,000 hospitalized patients who were prescribed opioids, very few, a handful, developed an addiction. That letter to the editor was, from my perspective, a massive problem. 8 years later, another investigator measured opioid addiction in 38 patients. And the conclusions of both were that long-term opioids are not addictive. And that is where the start of this began. Because up until that time, doctors were highly unlikely to prescribe opioids. That changed.
But see, at the same time, if I may just return to the pharmaceutical industry here for a second, simultaneously, they were, you know, marketing ever more powerful prescription opioids, right? And their marketing arms are quite strong and effective. And I think there has been some pretty good reporting that shows that they may have possessed evidence that they knew that there was risk of addiction, you know, with many of the drugs that they were selling.
Of course. And there was a denial that opioids are addictive. In the same way that tobacco denied that nicotine is addictive, in the same way that the marijuana industry is denying that marijuana is addictive. If you have a financial concern, you try to cast a drug in the best possible light. And all three industries have done the same thing.
Well, if I may, the new commission is, of course, under the auspices of the Trump administration. And I just wanted to ask you about what signals very high-ranking members of the administration have been giving about their view on the opioid epidemic. I mean, for example, Secretary of Health and Human Services Tom Price, he recently spoke in Charleston, West Virginia, another area that's got a very serious opioid problem. And he was asked about treating addicts by weaning them off heroin and other opioids and treating them instead with Suboxone or methadone. And the secretary said, if we're just substituting one opioid for another, we're not moving the dial much. Folks need to be cured so they can become productive members of society. I'm just wondering what your reaction is to those thoughts from Tom Price.
Well, my reaction is, first of all, I'd like to have a one-on-one discussion with him on it. Because the data are showing that medications-assisted treatment is reducing overdose and is getting more and more people into treatment. The problem is people on Suboxone, on buprenorphine, and on methadone are still getting opioids and using them. So we have to really bring very good evidence-based data into our policies and our programs going forward. We have on the full spectrum people clamoring for treatment and knowing that one way to end the cravings is to have medications-assisted treatment. And there are others who have no interest in appearing for treatment. Yeah. 90% of the people with substance use disorders in our country do not think they have an addiction. 90% who have substance use disorders do not think they have a problem and do not show up. Making this a center point of awareness through the healthcare system is critical.
Right.
Because clearly a drug-free brain is ideal. Nobody who is addicted to drugs that I have ever met wanted to become addicted. I have yet to meet in my life a person who has recovered who wants to go back.
Well, Bertha Madras is a professor of psychobiology at Harvard Medical School, and she's just been named one of the members of President Trump's commission to fight opioid addiction. Thank you so much for coming.
You're very welcome.